So what I want you to do is this. I want you to think back to when you were a child, and you can pick the time. And the reason we're talking about children today is because we're focusing on the Oaks and the ministry of the Oaks. The Oaks is the phenomenal ministry over there. It's tucked over there. You don't have to engage with it unless you drop off your children or unless you work there. But other than that, you probably don't know a whole lot about it. That's why the open house, that's why go and tour it today. It won't take long, but it's phenomenal what's going on over there. But I want you to think back to when you were a kid. You can pick an age. Maybe it's 4, maybe it's 8, maybe it's 12, I don't know, 10, 11, whatever. I just want you to think back to a time. Think back. Now what I want you to do is, can you think of someone in your childhood, whatever you'd consider your childhood, someone who you would describe as being highlighted for you? They had a positive impact on you. It doesn't have to be anything that they did anything great, just that name's, that's one of the names in your childhood that just stands out. You know, they could be anybody. It could be any family member. It could be school, sports, church, whatever. Okay, now what I want you to do is I want you to actually picture the person, see their face in your mind. Actually see their face. Try and recall their face. Recall their words, their voice, how it sounded to you. And what was it about them that made them special? What was it about them that you would highlight? You would go, yes, they definitely get a highlighter on their name. What I want you to do right now, just some, 4 or 5, say out loud, one at a time, person's name and what role they played. For example, so I would pick Mr. Metcalf, my public school principal. chuckle. That's who I'd pick. Who else? Your grandma Shepherd. A girlfriend, Susan. Okay. Joe? Your mother? Okay, thank you. Carol? Fleet? And who was she?
She was a neighbor.
A neighbor, yeah. Okay. Neighbor. Your grandma?
Augusta.
Okay, thank you. Yes. Oh, your sister. Who's your sister? Your who?
Foster.
Your foster father. And his first name was? William? Awesome. Okay, so these people that get highlighted, they actually have an impact on how you see yourself and how you see other people. They may have even had an impact on how you see and view God and view the rest of the world, your future. That is the impact, and it may have been something that is small. With my story, real quickly, Mr. Metcalf could very easily be a scary principal. Okay? Principals in my day were scary. All of them. Mr. Metcalf challenged the grade 6 class that we were sloughing, and I remember him yelling at us, going, "Are you hung?" You didn't have a thumb. Are you hungry for grade 7? That's funny, but that stuck, that burned into my head because it's a question that has come back to me all the time about whatever I'm pursuing. Are you hungry for it? And it stayed. He burned that into my, I don't know if it was maybe his look or his voice or what, but it burned. It burned into my conscience. Generally, those people we highlight, those people, you'd probably say, liked children, more than likely. Now, doesn't mean they liked them all the time, right? Like, I'm sure you've had times where it's hard to like kids, right? And that can be because either the frame of mind you're in or just their behavior. It's hard to like some kids, right? I think I was a likable kid. I think. No, you didn't know. I'm sure I was likable. I'm sure. I wasn't perfect, not by a long shot. Not if you look at my report cards. There are people who would probably agree with these words I want to read to you. This was the passage out of the book of Psalms in the Bible that came to me yesterday. And it's Psalm 127, verse 3. And it says this, it's real simple, that children are a gift from the Lord, they are a reward from Him. I find it interesting in Scripture the perspective that is given towards children. Children are never seen as less than in Scripture. They're never seen as unimportant, as to be pushed to the side, as a nuisance or as a distraction for us. In Scripture, children are actually get elevated up. They are actually honored. And what's interesting is the words used here, that they're a gift from the Lord. So when your teenage son slams a bedroom door, says, "I hate you," remember, they're a gift to you. That's your reward. Right? That's hard then, right? It's like, I don't think we signed up for this, God. My mom always said, kids never come with a manual. Wish they did, you know? Wish that there was a manual to figure out how to raise these things. But they're a gift. They're a gift from the Lord, and they're a reward from Him. And I don't know, how do you see children? How do you see kids? Do you see them as a gift, as a reward? When I hear that, and when I look at the kids that we have, and the kids that we have in children's ministry, and the gifts we have in the Oaks, what the Oaks does, the thought that crossed my mind was, we're blessed, Father. We're blessed because we attract children, that we've created a safe place for kids to have a positive experience. There's people that ensure the kids have a positive impression of other people, impression of themselves. Because you speak value into them, Tab. Kylie, I know you and your staff, that you speak value into kids. That goes a long way. Now, I'm not sure the key formative years of a child. Do you know off the top of your head, Kylie? What is it? First,
0 to 5.
Is that sort of what gets cemented in? And that's, your ages are from? Not zero. Right. So all the children you have, they're very impressionable. So the role you play is huge in a person's life. I find it interesting, first of all, not only the impression Scripture gives to children, but also the fact that Jesus, when describing the kingdom of God, God's kingdom, that He tells His disciples, who are fairly brilliant, smart adults, He tells His disciples that unless you actually become like little kids yourselves, you won't be able to enter into the kingdom. That's not talking about heaven, like going to heaven, but it's you won't be able to experience what my kingdom is about unless you become like a kid. And I think back to when I was a child myself. Don't you ever wish sometimes you could go back there? Your only stressor in life was, actually, I don't even know if I had stressors when I was a little kid, right? Because if it was raining, I didn't care about going out in the rain. And if I went to play in the puddles or in the ditches, I know that sounds like, you know, had a rough life. It wasn't. We didn't have curbs in that. We had ditches. And so we'd float boats in the ditches when the water would go down and sticks and all that stuff. And that was fun. But that was fun stuff, right? Anyway, we didn't have that stress. But I just find it interesting. You know, kids are exploratory. Kids are full on, full of expectation, full of wonder. In some ways, very risky. In other ways, maybe not so much so, but they have this freedom about them that is fascinating, that at times, wouldn't it be great, just for 12 hours, could I be like that, act like that? And I don't know what my neighbors would think if I got out and tried to float a boat down, a stick down. I know what they'd think. Oh, poor Scott. Someone should go and help him. But you have to ask the question, why are they a gift? Why are they a reward? Why should we see them as that, as opposed to a distraction? Interesting. Here's an interesting fact. A lot of the first world nations in Europe, Canada, North America, U.S. Did you know, in order to continue to exist as a people group, there is a birth rate that must be maintained. That if it's not maintained, that people group will start to dwindle. But if you reach a certain point, I'm going to have these figures probably not actually dead accurate, but like 1.4 per couple per family, 1.6 or 1.5, something like that, in that range, that there is no coming back from that. That people group will eventually no longer exist. And there is already nations today, or people groups, if you want to say it, in Europe, and U.S. and Canada are bordering on it, where they will not come back because couples aren't having kids. So people who study demographics, they go, we're not doomsday, we're just telling you what is reality. Kids are a reward. They're a gift. They're a gift because they are our future. They are the future of humanity. They will continue on, building on what we have built on from our parents and our grandparents. We have built on top of them, and our kids will build on top of us. And the big question for us, so these formative years for the kids, these formative years, 0 to 5, you understand that how we honor the children, how we love our kids, will impact the future of this world. That's reality, right? Because you know that stuff. I don't know about you, but me, there's things that happened in my life that as a result, it's like a hammer hitting this table. It puts an indentation in. And that indentation in my life has followed me all through my life, all through my relationships, through my work, right? Some of it good impact, some of it not good. And that has followed me all the way through my life. How we honor children, how we receive them, how we view them, that will determine what our future is going to look like. And so we need to see them as a reward. We see ourselves, we can look. You look at your kids. The amazing thing about having children is I remember when Zach was born, because that was our first, and I remember looking there in the Thunder Bay Hospital going, wow, look what we've created. This comes from us. Like there's a little me in there, and there's a little April in there, and it's like, that's bizarre. That was my thought when I was looking. That was my thought. That I had never impacted me before, but it was just like, wow, that's amazing. And but we see us. That's our future. Those people who I highlight in my life, they have shaped the person I've become today. They have made a huge difference. And they haven't done huge things. Mr. Metcalf, other than that one experience, he wouldn't have gotten a highlight, right? But he burned something positive in me that put a bit of a drive in me to push forward. I can go down the list of different names of different people. Some Sunday school teachers, some school teachers, You know, it could be a coach that you, if you were into sports, that impacted you. Obviously, hopefully your parents or your brothers and sisters. Sometimes brothers and sisters can give you a really negative impact depending on how they treat you. But I think of, I wrote down a whole bunch of names, and I just, you know, these people that shaped my life, shaped how I see the world. Two things I just want to conclude with. One, we read that verse, children are a gift from the Lord, they are a reward from Him. We're just bigger-sized kids, right? I know intellectually, and I know how we see the world. We see it differently than kids. I get that. We call ourselves adults, although we don't always act like it. But we're just bigger-sized kids, right? We're kids that have just grown up and out in every other direction, right? We're just bigger. Have you ever stop to consider the fact that you're a gift to this world, that you're a reward? Have you ever stopped to consider that? See, those are some, that is something there to ponder, think that through. That's how God sees you, actually, that you're a gift from Him, this world, and your reward. That's how He sees you. That's how He sees you. You know, we talk about this God. We sang a song. We sing about a song called, you know, the goodness of God, right? We sing about His goodness running after us. That's because He sees you as a gift and as a reward. When you look in the mirror next time you look in the mirror, be it tomorrow morning, be it tonight, whatever, whenever that is. Maybe it's in your rear view mirror in your car when you hop in there. You are a reward. You are a gift to this world. That's how the Lord sees you. That's how the Lord sees you. To the staff here of the Oaks. So who do we have here? Marcia. Kylie's not here. Monica and Diana. And Lisa, and Alyssa, and Nikki, and Natalie, and Robin, and Heather. There more, Tab, that I'm missing? Tabitha. Natalia? Okay. You need to know that what you do for kids, because our heart in ministering to children, our heart here as a church in ministering to children is very important to us. We carry that very close to us. And you need to know how thankful we are for you guys, for your willingness to day after day get up, day after day help these kids. Because I know sometimes some of the kids don't always cooperate. They're not always, they don't come in going, how can we best help your day to be nice and smooth for you? They do the opposite sometimes. But that's your gift and reward. There you go. So what does that say about you? No, but you do. You love kids. You will make a difference in their lives. I know you probably won't get to see it because 20 years from now, those children will be doing something, whatever, and you'll be whatever, right? And you may not see it, but you actually literally shape the kids. And we thank you for that from the bottom of our hearts. Because we want to be known as a place. It says on our website that we're a community of healing and hope. And we want to be that for children. We want to be that. We want to put positive experiences. And our prayer is that you will be, for them, you will be that highlighted name in their life. That they go, I remember that. Or their mother or their father will remind you that there was a teacher there at the Oaks. There was a helper. There was a person there that was very special, that meant a lot, that really helped us in shaping you. And so we thank you for that.